We also bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Our brother has asked us to read from Psalm 1. This is a blessing, or blessed are the righteous. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let us kneel for prayer.
We bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Last night we looked at Psalm 101 and noticed that we need to maintain a pure heart before God. This morning we'd like to take a look at Psalm 1 and notice here the blessing for the godly. Title is Blessed Are the Godly. We're familiar in Matthew 5 with the Beatitudes, which tell us that we can be blessed by God as we have various attitudes towards Him. You'll remember in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In that passage, we're told that we can have a blessed relationship with God. And I'd like us to think about that word blessed. The word blessed means to be happy. And we could read those verses putting the word happy in there. In Psalm 1, the psalmist starts out by saying, "Blessed is the man." He's saying we can have happiness, we can be blessed in our relationship with God. How many of us want to be blessed? If I'd ask you to raise your hand, probably all of you would raise your hand. We want to be blessed. And as you're here at church, our thoughts go to being blessed by God. This is talking to Christians. This is talking to believers. And we need to understand that we are not talking here about the blessing of righteousness for salvation. We're talking to people who have already had salvation be a reality within their life. When we think about our salvation, it is a righteousness, a godliness that comes from God through Jesus Christ and what Christ done on the cross. We'll be celebrating that tonight as we partake in the communion service. And it's because of what Christ done for us that he gives us his righteousness. And that is how we are saved. So as we look at this lesson today, I want us to understand that when we talk about being blessed as godly, with godliness, we're not talking about attaining salvation, but we are talking about a blessed relationship that continues on as we follow Christ. Faith in Christ is the basis of all working, all sanctification. It is the hope, God's great object of faith. Faith gives birth to prayer, to trust, to godly desire, and finally to blessing from God. In this psalm, we want to notice four blessings for the godly. The first blessing that we would like to look at is the fact that there are dangers for you who seek to walk in godly paths. There are dangers. You might say, well, why are dangers a blessing? Well, when you notice the dangers, they become a blessing because then you can avoid them. When you're going down the highway and you see those orange signs, construction ahead, a lot of times we get a little bit aggravated because it slows down our progress. But those signs are a blessing because they tell us that there is something dangerous ahead. You need to slow down a bit. And they warn us. My sister-in-law's sister, who lived in the country of Lebanon, in that country, they didn't put much of a warning system up whenever they worked on the road. You would just all of a sudden find a hole. And in the middle of the hole would be an orange cone. By the time you seen that orange cone, it was much too late. My sister-in-law's sister was telling me one time she ended up in a hole because there was no warning whatsoever. And just so when we notice dangers in the scripture, they're there for a purpose, to give us a warning. And we want to notice in verse 1 some of the dangers that are there. The devil is active and he will put obstacles in our way, and he uses those to hinder and to hurt us. And so we need to notice the dangers so we don't get hindered and hurt. Notice in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. These are three dangers that he is outlining for us, so that we don't need to be hurt or hindered by Satan. He says there that we are blessed if we do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Have you noticed that the ungodly people are often quick to give counsel? They are quick to give advice. And here he's saying we need to be careful about the advice, about the counsel that we listen to. Is it godly or is it not? It may be in the form of literature. I remember a book years ago by the title of I'm Okay, You're Okay. Not the best godly advice. There are advice columns in newspapers. There's advice that is given to us through entertainment. On the television, there are secular shows that talk about all kinds of secular opinions, solutions. They focus on self-esteem, programs like Oprah, Dr. Phil, and others that may have some truth, some things that are helpful, but it's ungodly advice many times that is contrary to the scriptures. And so we need to be careful about the advice that we listen to. It says here, we should not walk in the counsel or the advice of the ungodly. He continues on in the second danger that he mentions, and that is standing in the way of sinners. He says, we are blessed if we do not stand in the way of sinners. And that doesn't mean we're resisting them. You might get the image of standing in the way as to impede their progress. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that you're blessed if you do not stand with them. That's what he's talking about. Standing with the sinner is one step down the road further from listening to their advice. Oftentimes, if we listen to the sinner's advice, we will find ourselves starting to agree with it, and then we will stand with them. We'll say, yeah, that's an okay idea. And here he's saying, he's giving us a warning of the danger of listening to the advice and the danger of standing with them in accepting their advice. The third danger is that of sitting in the seat of the scornful. This is talking about somebody who is a mocker or a scoffer. Those who mock God and the ways of God, if we're not careful, if we listen to them, we will soon be adopting their attitudes. One writer has talked about scoffers and said, there are worse sins than scoffing, but the scoffer is the farthest from repentance. And I think that's true. The scoffer is one who is poking fun at God, poking fun at God's people, and their heart is far from repentance. And here he's saying, don't sit down with them, meaning don't adopt their attitudes of scoffing. And so we need to watch out for these dangers. Notice the progression, walking in the counsel of the ungodly. That's talking about accepting their advice. Standing in the way of sinners talks about being party with them. Sitting in the seat of the scornful is talking about adopting their attitudes. And so he's giving us the warning here to not let that happen in our lives. And that's a blessing that we get that warning and that we can keep from going down that road to destruction as we follow God. The second blessing that he mentions for us here in this passage is that there is delight for those who seek to walk in godly paths. Notice in verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And so he's saying there is delight as we walk with God, as we look at his word, as we read his word, as we meditate upon his word, there is delight. And he's saying we can have a delight in our relationship with God. It's not something that is cold and distant, but it is delightful and personal in our relationship with God. As a Christian, we should have delight when we read his word. The Christian has learned to make God's word his delight. To some people, reading God's word is boring, but to you, it is exciting. To some, it is dull. But to you, it is delightful. To some, it is fantasy. But to you, it is fact. To some, it is information. But for you, it is inspiration. We can have delight in our relationship with the Lord. And this is a blessing, that joy and delight can come into our life as we look at God's word, as we find delight in his word, as we study it, as we pray, as we hear the preaching of his word, as we have faith in God to fulfill and to carry out his word within our life. The psalmist David wrote about his delight in Psalm 119:47. He says, for I delight in your commands because I love them. In Psalm 119:77, he says, let your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Do you take delight in the laws of God? If you say, well, I read the Bible a little bit, I have a little bit of a devotional time with him, is it a delight to you? If not, I'd encourage you to take that devotional time deeper with the Lord and with his word. To not just read his word, but to study it. To look at the exact words that are used and try to figure out outlines in the scripture, or try to find out which are the key words in the scripture. And if you don't know some word, look it up in the dictionary. Study the word so that you know what the intent of the word is to you. And then not just to read it and to study it, but to memorize it. And then after memorizing it, to meditate upon God's word. All of those activities have a way of helping to take God's word from being just an exercise we do because we feel we need to an exercise that we find delight in our relationship with Jesus Christ. A third blessing that we see in this passage is that of the fact that there is fruitful destiny for you who seek to walk in godly paths. Notice in verse 3, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And so there is fruitfulness that comes into our life, the blessing of fruitfulness, as we walk in godly paths. He gives the illustration of a tree. Not only a tree, but a tree planted by the rivers of water. And that symbolizes for us the abundance of prosperity in that tree because it has plenty of water for it. This is in a culture where there were lots of deserts. On one occasion, I had the privilege of going in a bus across the Syrian desert from Damascus to Palmyra, about a 2.5-hour bus ride through all desert. From one town to the next, you didn't see a single tree. But when you got out in the middle of the desert in Palmyra, there's an oasis there. There's a spring of water. And all of a sudden, you see lots of trees. The difference is the source of water. And so he's saying to us here that we can be prosperous. We can be fruitful like the tree that puts its roots deeply down and draws the from the streams of living water. The river represents the Holy Spirit as he is able to guide and direct us in our life with Christ. Not only does the tree have roots that go deep, but it has leaves that go high, and it has fruit that is bearing and bringing forth abundance. And he's saying that whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He's saying if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the blessing of that relationship is as we maintain that with delighting in God's word, that we will prosper. We will bear fruit for Jesus Christ. The fourth blessing that we see in this passage, found in verses 4 and 5, "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." And so the fourth blessing is that there is only judgment for the ungodly. The ungodly will be judged. They will not stand. According to verse 5, the ungodly will not stand in the day of the judgment. That means they will be defeated in the day of judgment. They will not be able to stand against God in his justice as he gives judgment in the last day. There is damnation to those who are ungodly. He even says in verse 4, they are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Do you know what chaff is? Chaff is that little hull and other dirt that is with the wheat when it's combined. And in olden days, they would take the wheat and they would, on a windy day, they would throw it up into the air. The wind would blow the chaff away and the wheat would fall back down to the ground. And then they would have the pure wheat left behind. He's saying that the ungodly are as unstable as chaff, which the wind drives away. Contrast that with the image he gives of the godly. The godly are like a tree by the rivers of water with deep roots, high leaves, and bearing fruit. And so we need to ask ourselves, which do we want to be? Do we want to be like the godly like the tree producing godly fruit, or do we want to be like the chaff, so insignificant that the wind can just simply drive it away? He's putting that contrast in here to help us to see the blessing that comes through godliness in our lives. Do you see the difference between the blessed and the ungodly? The ungodly are not blessed by God. They do not have delight in God's word. They do not bear fruit by the Holy Spirit. The chaff which the wind blows away until the day of judgment comes and then the separation. The ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment. But you who are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, to you there is blessing from God. You will stand in the day of judgment. You will and do bear fruit. You will and do possess blessing from the Holy Spirit. If we want to be blessed, we should not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. We should not stand in the way of sinners. We should not sit in the seat of the scornful. Instead, if we want to be blessed by God, we should delight in His law and meditate on the law of the Lord. These are activities that will heighten our blessing as we walk with God. May God add His blessing to this, the hearing of God's holy word.